Blog Talk Radio.
You was popping, my nigga. It's PSA motherfucking podcast in the building. You already know what it is, man. First off, before I get into the get down, if you have not, go please check out my Massacre 3 recap with all the fans discussing disaster with the N nigga word and daylight and the whole card. That was a great show yesterday with the fans. I'm calling up. We're going to do appreciation right quick. Let me get my bro right in this motherfucker. Fam, what's good, my nigga?
It was good, my G. What's poppin'?
Salutations, brother.
Salute.
Let's get right into it, man. Another appreciation. Got two people we're going to talk about right quick. We're going to go to the BX, my dude. Something that you know very well about. Bronx, stand up. Obviously, throughout the years of the BX, we've had, what, KRS-One, Diamond B. Is Lord Finesse from the Bronx?
Yes, he is.
Right. Showbiz and AG. Black Sheep, right?
I don't know about Black Sheep, but I know Fat Joe's from the Bronx. I know Camp Lowe's from the Bronx. I know AJ
Talk that BX
from the Bronx.
Talk that BX
shit.
You
know what I'm saying? I know Q
just...
right now from the Bronx.
Okay.
You know,
the
streets is loving him.
Don Q, the clock is still on you, my nigga. You got to get your weight up a little bit before we really give you that light. Big Pun. He said it himself. He was the first Latino rapper to baffle our soul. Is that true or false, sir?
It's not true.
Ah, damn it. Sorry, Pun.
Well, that's no disrespect to him. Latin MCs have been part of hip-hop since the beginning.
Can you say that again? Can you say that again? Because a lot of people will try to front our Latin brothers and sisters, man, but I'm glad you said that, though.
Latin MCs have been at the beginning, the birth of hip-hop. Latin MCs have been here every step of the way.
Crazy
They've
legs,
always been part of the hip-hop culture. They've always been part of the hip-hop culture, always, from the inception. From the beginning, there's always been Hispanic MCs. What makes Pun different and unique was that Pun, like Eminem, was arguably lyrically better than everybody who actually rapped. That's how.
Hold on,
can
I say something right quick? I know niggas hate when I say this, fam. I used to get beat up when I said this. Say this back in the day. I'm talking about 98, I used to say this, 99. Lyrically, Pun is better than Big.
I wish you wouldn't say that because I don't agree with that, and this is a Big Pun appreciation,
I
and I love
that.
Big Pun. Wait a minute. I love Big Pun. See, don't derail the conversation because this is a Big Pun appreciation. I love Big Pun, and I think Big Pun is one of the dopest lyricists to ever spit. But when you make that argument, you make me make a counter argument, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use this appreciation. Why? I think Big was...
But this is what we do. Pros
okay,
and cons, my niggas. It is what it is.
Let me give you a con then. So let me give you a reality. When Big Pun was out, I thought Cannabis was better than him. In 1997 and 1998, I thought lyrically Cannabis was the better lyricist than Pun. Because
you're saying like it's a large margin. Hold on, I love Cannabis as the next guy. And we need to appreciate
so
the Cannabis, too. We need to do one of those, to be honest with you.
During that period,
yeah,
as much as of the Pun, I thought Cannabis in that period was the greatest lyricist of the moment. Pun was right there. But to me, Cannabis, in terms of lyricism, it impacted me more in terms of what I heard a lyricist do. I never thought I'd hear a lyricist.
But the margin is not that big. Hold on now. The margin is not that big.
It's not
like,
that big, but I'm
like,
talking about. I'm just talking
cannabis
about.
Cannabis is washing Pun,
my
nigga.
I'm not saying
it's
washing Pun. I'm just saying I thought Cannabis was lyrically the nicest MC on the planet Earth. In 1997, 1998, 1999, I thought Cannabis was the person I've heard in my life during that period. Pun was right there with him. Pun was right there with him. I'm not taking nothing away from Pun. But when you jump out the window and say some shit like Pun is.
That's not jumping
like
out the window, nigga. Slow down. That's not jumping out the window.
When you jump off the Twin. when you jump off the Sears Tower, when you jump off the Burj Dubai and say that, then I'm going to make my case.
I'm usually the one on the show. I'm usually the one on the show who doesn't jump out the window, sir. That is you, sir. So me saying pun is lyrically better than big is not a far-fetched statement.
You jumped out the window
statement.
When you said that. You jumped out the window.
No, it's not.
Did you jump out the window, you flew through the window. Because when you basically
are
this rapid-fire delivery, like, hold on. What do you
flow?
What
am I basing it on? Bars? Like, let's be real, my nigga. Like, my nigga, I think it's on. I think you throw a beat on. I think if you throw a beat on and Pun and Big is rhyming, I think Pun's going to win that.
Then
freestyling
then
and all.
Here's the thing. I strongly disagree with you. I think Big can outflow any MC ever.
This nigga, like, nobody talking bad about Big. This nigga, you see how his voice gets crazy,
y'all. I'm giving you my opinion. We're doing a Big Pun appreciation. I'm going to appreciate and highlight why Big Pun is great, why he's one of the great.
Okay, let's go there.
You jumping the fuck out the window talking some big shit.
Ain't nobody jumping out the window, nigga.
Have your man, then you're going to have some of your fans who follow this be like, yeah, he better than Big. A lot of love shitting on Big history. Niggas love shitting on, this nigga was better than Big.
Hold on. Nobody's shitting on Big's history, okay? First of all, you're shitting on Biggie's hit. I'm saying lyrically, I guarantee you, my nigga, hold on. I guarantee if you read Pun's round book and Big's round book, I'm not saying Big's round book is not fire. I'm saying with Pun's round book, I'm going to be a little bit like, wow. I'm going to be cringing a little bit more because of the shit he's saying, my dude.
MC.
Facts, nigga. Fuck is you talking about?
Is a better MC than Christopher Rios.
It's debatable. I think lyrically,
better albums, big.
Hold on. Lyrically, writing
better
bars. I'm going pun. That's no shade to Big. I'm a Brooklyn nigga saying this, nigga. What are you talking about? I'm not from the Bronx.
You say Pun better than Big. You saying Pun better than every MC.
I'm not saying Pun's better than him, nigga. I just highlighted Big. He has better albums, nigga.
I disagree.
All right, now, let's stay focused. Let's stay focused, sir. Let's bring it back.
You derailed the Big Pun appreciation by saying he's better than Big. You derailed it.
Nigga, I ain't derailed shit. Fuck you, nigga. Let's stay focused, sir. Let's stay focused, man. When's the first time you heard Pun? Let's stay focused. Stay focused,
you
man.
You started the conversation.
Stay focused, man. Nigga, it's a fucking opinion. I can't help
Pun.
It. If I feel Pun is literally
Pun.
Better than Big,
so make,
that's
so
just
make
what it
your
is.
Case that, make your case that Pun is so great in your appreciation, he's better than Big. So elaborate.
I didn't say he's better than Big. Never said he's better.
He's
overall package. Nigga, overall package, Biggie, pause, is Big. Albums, singles, I'm going Big. But I'm talking about MC, like on the block type nigga, Cypher, I'm going fucking Pun, man. Now, I'm trying to get back to this because you want to harp on this Big Pun shit and Biggie shit. Nigga's an opinion. Warrior roller coasters like my De La Soul voice, nigga. Jesus. You act like I'm jumping out the fucking window by saying Pun.
You did.
It's a little bit literally. That's not jumping out the window, bro. No, it's not.
To me,
in my opinion, no, it's
to
not.
Me,
that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
To me,
that's fine.
It's outrageous. And I made it my point
that's
to say
fine.
That I thought Cannabis' services. I think Cannabis' rhyme book, his lyrical rhyme book, is better than Big Pun's rhyme book. If we go back to 97.
That's debatable. I'm not mad at that. But see, I'm not going to jump out the window and get crazy like
point.
You. I'm not going to get crazy like you. I'm not going
to
get crazy
you
like you over that, my nigga. That's not jumping out
you
the window,
out.
Bro.
You
what are you talking about? Lyrics,
yo,
nigga.
That's a
whose music? Well, let me clarify this because I want people to understand something. Whose music I bump more? Biggie. Like I said a minute ago, I'm trying to stay on a Big Pun appreciation. This nigga just knocked off 15 minutes because I made that comment. But that's cool, though. That's the purpose of this show, though. That's why I love this show. When's the first time you heard Big Pun, sir? Nigga, when's the first time you heard Big Pun, man?
Acknowledge, I will tell you, but I want you to acknowledge that you set it off by saying he's better than Biggie. That's how you decided.
That's how I set it off,
you
yes.
Acknowledge that?
Set it off like Latifah, nigga.
So, Big Pun is the greatest Hispanic MC I have ever heard in my life. Okay? And I felt
over Joe? Over the Beatnuts? Just throwing it out.
Yeah, I felt he was a better MC than them. I thought Big Pun was a classic MC and what an MC was. Pure rhymes, pure lyricism, flow, delivery, and it appealed to me because I'm someone who comes from the Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, Coogee Rap era. He was a modern extension of what I liked about Coogee Rap, Kane, and Rakim in terms of just lyricism with flow and delivery. Big Pun had that. And what made it incredible was he was the first Latin rapper I heard who could rhyme, and I'm thinking Coogee Rap. And I'm thinking Kane.
Right.
I'm like, my God,
right.
A Latin version of those kind of MCs. I'm the nigga who put every nigga on who listened to hip-hop about Big Dog Punisher from the Full Eclipse Crew. Anybody
who talk that Full Eclipse Crew shit. Talk that Full Eclipse Crew shit.
Anybody who knew me in the mid-90s knew I used to force Big Pun on anybody. When he was on the Firewater remix with Raekwon, I played his verse so much, and I would force everybody I knew listen to this.
Best verse.
Listen.
Is it clear?
He
had the best verse.
Without it, it's very clear, very easy. He had the best verse. Not even trying. He's just Big Pun was just a great lyricist. So at that point, I was following anything Big Pun put on the streets. You know, so. Fat Joe's running around with Big Pun, bringing him to radio stations. He was on a Beatnut single with Cuban Links.
That was big. That was big.
And Pun, you know, bodied it. He clearly had the best verse. There's no question about it because he was the best MC.
Mm.
And I first heard
deep
his
cover
single with
that deep cover shit, though. Whew.
Cover is one of my favorite verses of all time. You rarely have a remake of a song that impacts you the same way as the classic. Twins has the same impact on me as Deep Cover. The
really?
Same impact. The way Deep Cover blew my mind. The way Deep Cover blew my mind. Twins blew my mind the same way because I couldn't believe how ill.
I'm gonna be real with you though. You're my bro, and we got same blood in our veins and hip hop together in sports and battle rap and all that. I'm gonna be real, bro. I'm kind of shocked you say it's equivalent to Snoop and Dre. I'm kind of surprised. I ain't gonna shock. I'm not gonna surprise. You know, I'm kind of shocked you kind of saying that.
When you do songs over, when you do remakes of songs, they never ever capture you like it. Listen, when they did the video and the projects. When him and Big Pun got the same one, and Snoop Dogg calls him up, Snoop co-signed it. Snoop gave them the co-sign on that.
I wish Snoop didn't want to Bronx though. What happened, Snoop? Why you're part of the video? You were somewhere else, another room. You should have been at the BX, but that's neither here nor there.
So it blew my mind. I mean, Pun was just, I mean, it's everything that I love about hip hop was captured in Twins with Pun. Before we even get to that, Pun was also on a Funkmaster Flex mixtape. Funkmaster Flex
was
the
volume shit. Was it volume one or two?
It was volume one. And he was putting all these MCs on. And Pun, early this year, was on Instagram, and he told a Big Pun story about how Big Pun came into the studio. All the established MCs of the moment were in there. And they watched Big Pun rhyme over Cream. Everybody in the room was jaws was dropped, and they was like, "This nigga is nothing to fuck with."
To be fucked with.
Fat Joe had to beg. He had to beg Funkmaster Flex to use this because Pun wasn't known. He wasn't that industry known dude. The only knew how nice he was Fat Joe, and Fat Joe's bringing him around. Pun bodied the Cream instrumental. So I'm already feeling Pun because I'm underground. I'm listening to who's the next underground nigga. So I was just waiting for Pun to come out. And let me tell you, when he came out with Capital Punishment, I'm going to tell everybody here, and I want everybody to be clear so they can understand what I'm saying. I liked Capital Punishment more than It's Dark and Hell Is Hot by DMX. They both came out in the same year. They both came out in 1998. Let me tell you.
Hold on real quick. Before you go, Sean, before you go in, can y'all leave comments on the bottom here? Or was y'all fucking with more? Like Sean said, was y'all fucking with Capital Punishment, DMX, Is Dark as Hell Is Hot? Which album in 98 was y'all fucking with more? Please leave comments on the bottom. Okay, bro.
So let me just talk to anybody who was there and bought the album. I was still buying cassette tapes. Pun's album was sold like it was a cigarette carton. If anybody bought Pun on cassette, you bought a cigarette carton because that is what it came in. It came in like you buying a pack of Newport 100s. Anybody who bought it knows that, okay? I'm one of those niggas who bought it like that, not on CD, but on cassette. Mm-hmm. The album was incredible. I fucking loved it. I loved it for its lyricism. It's a personal classic to me.
Okay.
In my mind, it was a classic because I treated it like a classic. I played it all the time, nonstop. So,
Beware.
Going to have
let's name some songs off. Beware. The joint with Black
Beware.
Thought. I'm pretty sure you love that joint.
Well, the first song to set it off, Capital Punishment. Capital Punishment.
He set it off lovely. Set it off lovely.
Amazing. You know, I'd rather sell reefer instead of piece of delivery. Like, come on. His flow was mind-boggling. Beware is another song with a flow on Beware. He's just rhyming.
And Sean, let's be real, man. For a big nigga like him, son, his flow and his breath control was crazy for a big nigga like that.
His Big Pun's delivery and flow is one of my favorite flows and delivery. I'm a huge fan of Big Pun's flow and delivery, and I'm trying to explain to you guys how much I love Big Pun. Capital Pun meant more to me than It's Dark as Hell Is Hot. Big Pun to me was a better lyricist than DMX. The only reason
he's not Latino either. He's a nigga saying this. He's not a Latino brother from the Bronx saying this. You know what I'm saying?
The only reason why I'm saying it is because these albums both came out in the same year, around the same time. And I remember being on 125th with my man banging that shit on 125th Street. We were playing punch shit like losing our mind. Level of lyricism.
I like both
okay?
albums equally. I like both albums equally, but I would lean or capture me more on say DMX probably. But that's not, I'm not taking nothing away from you saying Pun though.
So one thing that's so fantastic about Pun album is the MCs who collaborated with him on the album. All-time great, rest in peace, Prodigy, is on the album because Pun wanted him on the album. You guys got to understand,
Trish,
in 1998, in the late mid-90s, Prodigy was looked at as one of the great MCs from the East Coast, from New York. That's just
what
I
appreciate,
please. That's what he was. He also had Inspector Deck from Wu, who is a lyricist. If anything,
Trish,
you want to know about Inspector Deck, Inspector Deck is a lyricist. So that collaboration, Trey Lichez, is just, it's an incredible collaboration.
Crazy.
Man. It's an incredible collaboration. Fat Joe, when Fat Joe talks about the album, he says, everybody thought Pun wanted to rhyme with Cannabis because we were talking about who's the lyricist.
Right.
The guy actually asked for was Tariq, a.k.a. Black Thought. Because what
really?
People may not understand is Black Thought is the same kind of MC as Big Pun. He's an MC's MC. Pure lyricism. So they did this collaboration together. Pun,
like you could tell. Hold on, you could tell that him and Black Thought was in a lab together too, though. That joint gave you that feel that they was in a lab.
That,
you know what I mean?
That was the in the lab era. The 90s was the we're
Talk
in the lab
shit.
Together, rhyming together.
Talk that
era.
In the lab
That's
era shit, my nigga.
Was it it wasn't the DJ Khaled email me your verse era. I know people don't like to hear that, but it wasn't that era. But, hey, everybody, you're great, you're great, you're great. Email your verses. I'm going to throw all you guys together, and here's the great song. This was everybody in the studio together. Big Pun's album. Big Pun would make references to show you that he was also a hip-hop historian. Never tell why I connect with Big Pun. Big Pun is the same age as me. I fuck with my generation of rappers. Eminem is my age. Biggie Smalls is my age. Big Pun is my age. All these, this is my generation of MCs. I love them. They rap.
Yep. They mean a lot, my nigga. Let's be real. My nigga, they mean a lot to me and you, bro. And those niggas our age that came up in that era, bro.
You know,
they was our superheroes, man.
Gonna have to do a Busta appreciation too.
We could do one.
Rhymes is the same.
We could do one.
He's from the same era. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
But back to Pun. Back to Pun. I thought. So here's how I thought. Cannabis and Big Pun were the two lyrically best MCs in hip hop. Period. I didn't think anybody could actually rhyme better than them. I'm just talking strictly lyricism. I'm not talking making songs.
Jay-Z, Nas. Jay-Z, Nas.
I'm just talking.
Lox boys was around them times.
I'm just talking. I'm glad you brought the Lox up. Pun is on a song called Band from TV. He got Prime Lox, Prime Nori, Prime Nature. All you got to do is listen to his verse. Or you to know how nice Pun is, listen to him when he's rhyming with the MCs of the time. He got Johnny Blaze, who he's rhyming with Nas Prodigy, and Prodigy had to change his verse because one of them changed their verse after they heard Pun's verse. They changed their verse. Then you have Bam from TV.
Niggas changing verses. Pun got niggas changing verses. I hear.
Then you have Bam from TV where Pun spit an incredible. I mean, Bam from TV is one of my favorite, but Pun spit an incredible.
Top five collabo joints. Safe to say.
That is one of the greatest collaboration songs in my personal history. That is a top collaboration joint. I don't know if it's top five because there's 35 years of hip hop history. Headbangers would be.
But you say your personal.
Scenario. So just think about it. Headbangers, Scenario, Symphony. That's three already. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Live at the Barbecue. So that means that would be throw that, and that's five already. So I'm not
going to
say top five, but.
Crooked Dodgers.
Right.
You know, a lot of shit.
So you see what I'm saying? So there's a whole bunch of shit, but that is one of my all-time favorite collaboration songs. And to get a sense of how great Pun was, Pun used to rap with all the great rappers of that period, and none of them are behind him. None of them.
Well, yep.
He got a song Cheek on the Rough Riders compilation, and she didn't out-rhyme him. Here's the thing about Pun. Nobody could out-rhyme Pun. He never got on the track with anybody who out-rhymed him, and he rhymed with Nas. He rhymed with
Raekwon
of the moment. And nobody.
Remember that cipher they had when it was Pun, Mike Geronimo, Cannabis, DMX at a round table, and it was all rhyming. If you niggas ain't never seen that, go on YouTube and check that out, man. That shit was fire.
So it was John Forte, not Mike Geronimo. That was the guy who was there with them.
Oh, John Forte, part of me.
Right.
They kind of look alike. If Mike Geronimo had no dreads, though, he looked like John Forte, but yeah.
So what happened was Cannabis was very arrogant. And he was like, yo, no disrespect to none of y'all, but I got to go laugh because I feel I'm the nice. Fine, said that all right. Pun just said, hey, I'll go now. Pun bodied it. To the Battle Rap fans, y'all want to know what a 3-0 is, what a 30 piece is?
Yeah,
Pun's
a 30 piece.
At that table was a 30 piece. Because everybody at that table felt what they heard. Now,
like,
my job
what do, like them niggas probably was like, yo, what do I say after this? After that shit, my nigga? What do I say after this nigga just went the fuck in?
And he went in. Also, he rhymed with Cannabis on DJ Clue's first album. Song called Fantastic
on a Professional
4.
Yeah.
Right.
Cameron.
And Pun was on that with Cannabis. And Pun spazzed. I mean, Cannabis spazzed too. It was great. But the point I'm trying to make is every great MC of that era rhymed with Pun, and none of them out rhymed him or outshined him. Remember, Big was dead by this time, so he never came to rhyme with Big. He never rhymed with Hov either. But he rhymed with everybody else, and everybody.
I would have loved to. I would have loved to hear Biggie and Pun on a track together, man. That would have been everything.
That would have been great. Now, rumor has it that when Hov said three cuts in your eyebrow, three cuts in your eyebrow,
trying to wild out.
The game is mine. We never fall out. You just want to hope we gracefully bow out.
Say it again, nigga. Say that whole shit, nigga.
I'm not saying
it again. You talking about?
I'm not saying it again. I'm not saying it again. What I'm saying is that. What I'm saying is that the rumor was he was going at that he was going Pun for an alleged encounter they had, where bottles were thrown and this, and everybody has different stories about.
They say that story is not true though. On Doggy Diamonds, the link was on Doggy Diamonds.
Pun,
y'all go check that out on YouTube.
Pun did have three cuts in his eyebrows though.
Yes.
I mean, so that's where the rumor came from. And there was, they met up somewhere where they were all around. See, this is funny. I know a lot of you guys can't envision. There was a time when Jay-Z actually was around everyday rappers, and he would be around them. There was an era where he could actually do that.
What do you mean?
No, I'm
hold on. What does that mean, my nigga? I'm lost. Where'd that come from?
It comes from the fact that Hov is untouchable right now. You can't access to him. You can't meet Hov. Hov is not going to be in a room with a bunch of rappers. That era is over with. But my point is, back in the 90s, Hov was still accessible. You could still see Hov at the club. You could still see Hov around. He's still around, niggas. You know what I mean? But the point is, Pun affected every aspect of him. He has songs with 8-Ball and MJG. Right. He has songs with Heavy D. He had songs with everybody. In 1997, 1998, Pun did collabos with damn near everybody who rapped. And every verse he spit was...
Now, going into Ye Baby, I like that album. I'm going to give it 4 mics. It had 100% Puro. I think it was the first single, or was it another joint? The Donnell Joints joint, right? Was first,
Donnell
right?
Joe joint. But the reason why Donnell joint, because Pun had passed away. But here's the thing about that album.
Right.
That was the album they was going to put out. Like, the album was done already. Pun just happened to pass away. It's the same thing with Big. Big's album was done before he got killed. It wasn't like this is a post-Marcus album, whatever they call it. Like, these were the albums they wanted to put. So, Yeah Baby was coming out, if Pun was still alive. And it did not have the same impact for whatever the reason. But lyrically, Pun still had it, but you could tell his breath.
I think it was the production.
A lot of punching.
I think it was the production on that album that didn't really capture our hearts and souls like that on that album.
Well, let me be, since this is the Pun Appreciation, tell everyone I loved it. I didn't look at this album and say, damn, Pun is super lyrical anymore. I listened to it. The song he has with Sunkiss is a song that talks to my soul. I'm the wrong one to fuck with. Wrong ones? Fuck with me, you get stuck quick. Fuck you, duck quick. You ain't got no wins in me, car, so I take the glass out. You ain't even in my car. That song he got was Sunkiss. Pun's verse on there is a 5-mic flawless verse. It is a flawless verse. I used to listen to that verse all the time, just like, my God. That album also introduced Remy Ma. Remy Martin, it introduced her to the world. 2000.
Right.
And,
That's what it is,
so what happened was, I think what hurt the album was Pun had died. He died in bad situation because of, you know, his weight, and they rushed it out. That Loud like rushed it out to get it out there and shit.
Yeah.
And it just didn't have the same feel because first of all, you sad Pun died. They rushing it out, and you know, but me, in just terms of Pun's lyricism, it was there. Pun was a great lyricist, but like you could tell. At this point, he was having a lot of breath control problems, so you could hear that they were punching in a lot of his verses. Like, he would rap, and he would get tired, and then he would have to, you know, they had to keep putting it together. But so just the lyricism was still there. You know what I'm saying? He had New York Giants with M.O.P. You know what I'm saying? So,
M.O.P., that was my joint right there, for real. Listen, man, Pun to me was everything,
Bottom line is, Pun is, to me, one of the all-time greatest MCs who ever lived. And to this day, hearing all these lyricists, Pun is still... Put it this way. Let me give you guys a... Pun is a slaughterhouse MC. Like, he could have been a slaughterhouse with ease.
Yeah.
It would have been no problem.
With ease, yeah.
Like Slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of MC he was. He was that kind of MC.
Yep. Well, Pun, that's our appreciation to you, my brother. R.I.P. to you, Pun. You already know what it is, man. Now, it's our first appreciation going on a sports tip, my nigga. I'm going to go to Hollis Queens. Yes, New York representative, journalist, beat writer. Now does a show on ESPN First Take. Talking about Stephen A. Smith. I say Stephen A. Smith. You say what, sir?
I say the one of the most influential black sports journalists in the history of black sports journalism. In
wow.
terms of his impact on the culture, how he is, he's a part of the national conversation of sports talk in America. He's a national.
So you put him over. You put him over Brian Gumbel, Mike Tirico, and them kind of niggas.
No. I'm not putting them over because they have they're the same. But Stephen A. resonates more because he covers a sport. First of all, he covers my favorite sport, which is basketball, and he
right.
covered. And before he got to that point, since we're doing appreciation, he was covering Allen Iverson. And in the early days of the internet, for the first time, we were able to read papers from other cities and states. So I'd always go to the Philadelphia Inquirer to read what he had to say about Iverson. Not only that, Stephen A. Smith used to have a mail account, and if you emailed him, he would respond back to you. This is like 2000. He would respond back to you.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. I would email him something that I heard him say or read
right.
that he said and or respond to his column, and he would respond back.
This is before social media, right?
And one thing about Stephen A. Smith is Stephen A. Smith was always accessible, whether he's doing a radio show, because he's always a call-in. But to see where he went from a beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, even during this time he was on Fox as a talking basketball, and this was when he was in his 20s. And I was like, yo, who's this dude being loud and wilding out? And when he did the show, and let me tell you one of my favorite ESPN shows, him, Bill Walton, and Tim Legler. I love that show. They had an ESPN show.
I fucking
that
love
show?
That shit. That shit came on like 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning type shit, ESPN 2.
Yo, I love when him, Legler, and Bill Walton would talk about whatever was going on in basketball. It was so much fun to hear because Stephen A. Smith would say stuff like, matter of fact, Greg Anthony was on it too. It might have been Greg Anthony, right? It was Stephen A. Smith, Greg Anthony, and Tim Legler. And
I think sometimes Walton should be sometimes also though, son.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because I know Walton. But the thing is, with Stephen A. Smith is he was building up a national brand for himself, and I gravitated towards it. I really liked it. So you remember when his brand was growing so big that ESPN decided to give him a show called Quite Frankly.
Yeah, nigga.
You remember that?
Hold on, my nigga. Can I say this? Quite Frankly, that shit came on. It was a short stint. I remember Allen Iverson was on there. He had to be dropping tears. I remember Jalen Rose was on there, Kobe Bryant. My favorite episode when AI was on there and chopping it up. I love Quite Frankly, my nigga. I thought I thought it should have went longer than it did, my dude, to be honest. I fucked with it.
Quite frankly, would make it now, in today's environment, more than it would have that time. It just, that for whatever the reason, the environment was there.
I think it was too early. My nigga, you know what I think, though?
Right.
Hold on, Sean. I think it was too early for that show, and I don't think its popularity, the way it was then, the way it is now, it wasn't back how it was back then, the early 2000s, you know what I mean?
Right. And I think, so I was a big fan of that. I'm a fan of Stephen A. Smith. He infuses the hip-hop culture with love of basketball. If anybody listens to this podcast, you know I'm a basketball fanatic and I'm a hip-hop fanatic. He merged both of those. because people who are not may not be familiar, when he used to do shows in New York on ESPN Radio, his intros were guys would rap. They would rap on his intros. He'd get guys to do rap on his intros, and he would play whatever the current modern hip-hop songs were. Shop about 50 Cent and sing it in one of his shows when he had his radio show in one of his early radio shows in New York City. So Stephen A. Smith was very influential from giving Kobe Bryant's interview when Kobe Bryant said he wanted to leave the Lakers. That was that was the biggest deal. That's what Kyrie had everybody going crazy right now. Stephen A. Smith is the one that actually got the interview. So imagine right now if somebody gets an exclusive interview with Kyrie Irving right now, where Kyrie talks about wanting to leave LeBron. Stephen A. got that interview from Kobe Bryant.
Facts.
Like, that's how big it was. I'm going to tell you something else Stephen A. did. When Stephen A. lost his show, quite frankly, when he was just doing, like, radio shows and stuff, he was still writing for news.
Columns and shit. Mm-hmm.
He told everybody LeBron James was going to Miami.
Yep.
Nobody had
He was
that
the first
answer.
Nigga
that
put that out there.
Stephen A. was the first guy to put that on there. I think his entire profile changed. I think that's when Skip Bayless was like, yo, I got to have this guy on my show because it's just not working with these other guys. It's not working with Woody. You know what I'm saying? And Cold Pizza and all these
other Cold Pizza days,
He knew it. I watched Cold Pizza.
Yo,
Stephen A.
Him and Skip, when Tebow Mania was going crazy, and the way that Skip loved Tebow and Stephen A. was anti-Tebow in a sense, it just set them up lovely because they were so much against certain things that I love them niggas together. That was like mushy TV, man. Before they got in a big studio with Carrie Champion, when it was just Skip, Stephen A., and Jay Crawford and shit.
So Stephen A. Smith, at that point, the first take made him a household name because it's a national television show, meaning all you have to do is have cable. So everybody in Alaska, Hawaii, Nebraska, Vermont, New York, if you have cable, all you got to do is turn on basic cable. And if you have ESPN2, you're going to see Stephen A. Smith. To me, his profile went higher. He went through the roof and to the point where he is where he is now, one of the big, big personalities on ESPN who has a very, very opinionated stance. That
very much. Now, that's why I want to go right quick. That's why I want to go right quick because people sometimes don't like his opinion, and I'm talking about black folks, white folks. I think there's a you got black folks who think he coon, which I hate that shit when they're using, oh, Stephen A's a coon. Let me tell you about that coon word. I really don't think a lot of people understand what the word coon means. They just throw it out there because it just is the first thing the niggas run to and shit. And he's loud. I think he's from a West Indian background. I'm West Indian. We're just loud by nature, my nigga. That's our background. You know what I'm saying? So I've always appreciated. I'm not going to always agree with everything Stephen A. Smith says. I'm not going to agree with everything anybody says. You and I are not always going to agree, but that don't mean I got to not like you because you have a different opinion than mine, and I don't like what you said. I ain't fucking with you. I've always fucked with him, regardless if I disagree with him. I don't know how you feel, but I've always rocked with Stephen A.
So Stephen A. leads to, because his profile is so high, and when he speaks to a lot, speaking for black people, because you know, white America tends to think that we anoint one black person and whatever they think, they speak for everybody. but in the era of social media, there's immediate clapback. Immediate. Like, you will know how we feel about something unanimously because all of us just go straight to our social media accounts and say, I'm black and this is how I feel. And it contradicts what a Stephen A. Smith would say. For example, when Mark Cuban said, when black people put on hoodies, I want to walk across the street. Because I don't feel safe. Like, I have that prejudice in me. A lot of black people in America were offended by it. But Stephen A. Smith wasn't offended by it. He went and vigorously defended Mark Cuban. And what he did, what got black people upset is he kept saying, I don't give a damn what black people think. That's what made it crazy. It wasn't that he defended.
Now, hold on right quick. Do you, now, him by him saying that, do you think it was more to the fact that brothers and sisters attacking him all the time on social media, and he's looking at his mentions and seeing people just killing him and shit, that it forces him to go on a platform that he is on ESPN First Take and be like, he don't give a damn. Me, I wouldn't have said that, but do you feel that's because he got pushed into saying that because our people were attacking him? I'm talking about brothers and sisters.
He's very proud, and he wanted to, but here's the thing. The way he said it, it felt like he was personally talking to me, or he was personally talking to every black person who disagreed with him. And it was so intense that Skip realized that, whoa, this is not the black perspective I thought I would get on this show, because I'm a white guy, and I'm getting a black guy who's basically co-signing a white person's pre-conditioned racist beliefs. So they brought Michael Eric Dyson on the show, who had to politely
that shit got intense.
And engage with Stephen A. Smith. And it was so deep that Stephen A. Smith, with his pride, basically said, everything you said was right, Dyson, but everything I said was right, too. Because he couldn't dispute anything Dyson said about why.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. On that episode, do you feel Stephen A. met his match?
He didn't meet his match. He was outclassed. When it comes to talking about race in America, Stephen A. is not even anywhere near in the ballpark with Michael Eric Dyson. He didn't meet his match. He was devoured, which is why he said, I agree with everything you say. The entire interview kept saying, I agree with everything you say, but I'm right too. That's all he could say. He couldn't disagree with any point. Now, this is what got black people pissed, because he made sure he went out there and said, I don't give a what you black people think. But when he got into that little beef, that little Twitter beef with Michelle Beadle,
that shit got crazy. He got suspended for that.
He came on the airwaves and cried and apologized. You think black people did not see that?
Of course, and got tired about
that,
of course.
Every black person saw that.
Definitely.
Every black person. And they said, wait a minute. Now, when it comes to talking to us, you don't give a damn what no black person think. But when it comes to a white woman who violated ESPN protocol by engaging you, it was her fault. But yet, you got suspended. And then when you came back on the air, you damn near cried and begged for forgiveness and talked about how wrong you was.
But you know what, though? Hold on, Sean. You know what it was also, though? We're talking about a white woman, and we're also talking about domestic violence also. And once you mix those two in there, brothers, you know what it is. Those are sticky situations. You know what I'm saying?
It's the heartfelt apology that he gave to her that he would never, that black people perceived. You wasn't on that time when it comes to talking about us. Matter of fact, you never on that time when it comes to us. When it comes to us.
I would disagree with that. No, I don't think Stephen A. shits on black people all the time. I disagree with that.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that when there's something that he defends, like his love of Pat Riley, his love of Jerry Jones, his love of some guys who I perceive as white racist motherfuckers, he praises these motherfuckers.
Is it praising or giving them the respect? You could think Rush Limbaugh is a fucking dickhead, which I also think he is. And what's the other nigga on Fox that just retired?
Bill O'Reilly, Hannity,
all the niggas and shit. You could think, I don't fuck with none of the niggas on Fox, but I know they're intelligent dudes and shit. They're not dumbasses. They got there for a reason, so I respect that. You know what I'm saying? Even if I don't respect your views on certain things you talk about, especially when it pertains to black people.
Let me just say this. Sean Hannity is not intelligent, and I don't respect him. He's a white racist, okay? This country's already shown white mediocrity. You can go to the top. Donald Trump is not as brilliant as Barack Obama. He can't fuck with Barack Obama on nothing, but he's president. I'll never underestimate white racism in this country. They will take mediocrity of a white man and elevate him over a intelligent black man. That's just the history of this country. That's just my fucking opinion. But in terms.
But hold on, real quick before you go on. I've also seen Steve. I agree with what you're saying, but I've also seen Stephen A. You got to tell. Let's be real. As much as niggas rock with Skip, or you might not like Skip Bayless, I'm pretty sure as a white man, he had a feel. It was when Black Topics came in there, and Stephen A's talking about Black Topics, and he's riding for us and shit like that. Skip Bayless, numerous times, you know what, I appreciate you coming on the platform, educating me on things that I might not have known. So Stephen A has also used ESPN First Take platform to talk about race and stuff like that. He also has,
No. I agree, and I'm not taking nothing away from him. But here's what happened, and here's the reality. When Skip moved to Fox Sports 1 and he bought Shannon Sharp, Shannon Sharp attacks every issue in this country when it pertains to race, and he speaks it
definitely
differently from the way Stephen A. Smith speaks it. The Colin Kaepernick situation is a perfect example. Charlamagne Tha God gave Stephen A. Smith Donkey of the Day for that.
Donkey of the Day.
He actually went on Stephen A. Smith's show and told him to his face why. Because Stephen A. Smith tried to invalidate what Colin Kaepernick did because he didn't vote. So highlighting social injustice, because he didn't vote, Stephen A. Smith invalidated it and said Colin Kaepernick is a fraud. He's a fraud. I don't want to hear another word about him. And he went in on Colin Kaepernick. You know who loved
hearing?
You know who loved
white America.
Stephen A. Smith.
White America.
White America loved
white America.
Him. They loved it. You know what I'm saying? And that's how powerful Stephen A. Smith's platform is. Anytime Stephen A. Smith takes a position that maybe a lot of black people in America don't take, but majority of white people love, we as black people see it. So when we see Shannon Sharp take a completely different take on every single issue pertaining to race and sports in this country, it's eye-opening.
Let me jump in here right quick. This is how I look at it. I look at it, Shannon Sharp is going to say, yo, you can't attack us as black people. And Stephen A. said the same thing. I think the real difference also is Stephen A. When people, sometimes I think as brothers, especially black men, I think sometimes we need to get kicked in the nuts sometimes and a wake-up call sometimes. I really do feel that way. Not all the time we should be praised. If some of us are here doing dumb shit, I think some shit should be highlighted. Yo, we need to wake up. And when he saw my nigga stay off the weed and all that other shit he does, like, I think that is warranted and needed also. So as much as you could praise a brother, you still got to knock this when we're doing bullshit. And I think as black folks, we don't like that. I think sometimes we look at other brothers who be on TV and we feel like, oh, they cooning because they getting at us. And some aspects I agree with. You could look at it as, ah, what the fuck you saying? But also I look at it like, bro, it could be a wake-up call. It's like a Jay-Z 444 album. Wake-up call. Yeah.
So another example of why I think it's great to have the difference between Shannon Sharp and Stephen A. Smith is this. Recently, Dez Bryant went on Instagram and decided, I'm going to talk down to black America. Stop blaming white people. It's y'all fault. It's y'all fault. It's y'all the reason. It's y'all. You know what I'm saying? Rich black men who come from poverty, now that they're rich, now they're going to lecture a black America on how everything is our fault because we don't have the unique skill that Dez Bryant has. So Shannon Sharp called it out. Like, called it out so perfect that Stephen A., and I'd never seen him do it before, actually said on his show, I want to give my brother Shannon Sharp props.
Yep.
Because
yep.
He called it out. Stephen A. Smith.
I think I was big, though. He didn't have to do that, though. I think I was big of him.
No, he didn't,
I think I was real big of him.
He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. But my point is, Stephen A. Smith he's on the Mount Rushmore of black journalists on TV, in my opinion. The fact that ESPN just fired a lot of people, man. They fired.
I think he is ESPN, my nigga. Low key, I think he is ESPN.
They moved. First Take from ESPN 2, they moved it to ESPN.
To
the
that
flagship
was
station. That was huge. And Stephen A. Smith right now has the platform with that whatever he says is going to echo. Anything he says, anything he thinks. You understand he's on vacation right now, and they are calling him because they want to know what's going on with Kyrie, so he's on the phone. Like, we know that Stephen A. Smith ain't coming back till July 31st. Like, I don't see him. I'm like, I can't watch this shit. That's how impactful he is. Like, I can't wait till he gets back because I got it. I want to know what he thinks about stuff.
Facts. And real quick, Stephen, I want to appreciate you for always taking my calls. Dre from West Palm. You know, it's called ESPN, New York. Love chopping up with him and shit, man. He's always showing love when he's called up there. Can't call him. They're talking crazy if you know your sports. So shout out to Stephen A on that right quick.
So Stephen A, I'm one of the guys who can say I called you when you was doing ESPN. I called you on every ESPN show you had with every call.
I know LA, right?
Had.
ESPN LA.
And I called you not ESPN LA. I'm talking about when you were on ESPN.
I called ESPN LA when he was in LA too, though. I ain't gonna front.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know he was on ESPN LA. I never knew.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't bullshit. I wasn't trying to be friendly. No,
because I always know he had a New York show. But I remember when he filled in for this sister on WBAI called Karen Hunter. Her name's Karen Hunter. Big. He always mentions her. Always likes to mention Karen Hunter. Have a relationship. He knows her. I used to always call in her show when I'm talking about black shit. I'm one of those dudes who used to call in a lot, just like you, but I called in for other shit, black shit.
Right.
So he used to cover for her. And I would call in, he'd take call Watson from Brooklyn, always. You know what I'm saying? Watson from Brooklyn. And he would take my call, we'd go at it, and it was all love. You know what I'm saying? He used to, in the early days of Twitter, Stephen A. Smith used to always go back and forth with me. But it got to the point where I disagreed with so much stuff he was saying that I just kept getting at him, so he stopped responding to my because I get it all the time now. Because it's just, he just says so much shit I disagree with. But it doesn't change the fact that he is the preeminent African-American sports figure on TV. That's just facts. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows him. They call him
Stephen A., real quick, man. Stephen A., for me and Sean, I know you just lost your moms, man. RIP to that right quick, man. You know what I'm saying?
No question. And the reason why we know about her is because you talk about her all the time. From Hollis, Queens, and how anytime you said something negative about Obama, your mother would say, "What you doing?" And she'd get on you and she'd set you straight.
That's that West Indian mother shit, though. You know what I'm saying? That's how West Indian mothers get down, bro.
So no doubt we understand the impact and the loss. So we definitely feel for you on that. But like I said, Stephen A. Smith is the preeminent. Here's how you know he's the preeminent Jersey. Why you niggas want to know what Brian Windsor thinks about Kyrie? I don't give a fuck what he thinks. He let me know. I need to know.
Now he doesn't. Hold on. Before you go in though, to be fair to Windhorst though, he is. Robin, he is on that team. He knows what's going on in Cleveland, probably though, bro. That's where he's from. You know what I'm saying? He has been covering LeBron James since he's in high school. To be fair, I don't fuck with Windhorst like that either. But just to be fair.
Full disclosure, I bought Brian Windhorst's book, The King is Home, which is when he left. Understand that.
How was
it? I don't think it's real good. It's real good inside
of you. My bad, I tried to ask my bro.
The book was good. He talks about the deterioration of the Pat Riley, LeBron, in that last year and how he moved to Cleveland. So it gives you a lot of that. But when it comes to this Kyrie shit, the reason why Stephen A. Smith is still the one who's pushing the needle, he's the one that told us that Kyrie's team believes LeBron leaked this. Nobody else knew that. Nobody else comes. Mm-hmm. So when Brian Windhorst and all these ESPN insiders, they have to. Stephen A. Smith said, blah, blah, blah.
No love. Hold on. No love for Ramona Shelbourne and Rose and Rachel Nichols?
None. None. They are. They know as much as me and you.
You can't do Woj like that, though. Nah, you got to put some respect on Woj's name, though, B. Come on. Woj bomb, man.
Stephen A. Smith is the only one who put out there that LeBron James leaked it. Stephen A. Smith was the only one who came out with that. Nobody else did, because everybody is still stunned about this Kyrie shit. Nobody knew what happened. So but the point is,
what do you think about Bomani Jones?
I'm not into him. I know about him. Sometimes he says some good stuff, but I'm not. He, there's enough.
He comes up kind of cocky, don't he, though? He comes off kind of cocky, huh?
Listen, he's not my. I'm not hyped with him. You know what I'm saying?
You know what he is? He reminds me of Talib Kweli. And let me say why I say why he reminds me of Talib Kweli. In the sense of social media, where they seem like they're always beefing with people on social media and always have it back and forth. But you know what I'm saying?
Well, let me just say this. I love Talib for that. Because the guy, like, side topic, a guy like...
Yeah, well, against racists. Yeah, against racists. Against racist people, definitely.
But Royce doesn't acknowledge our existence. Talib will enter. I will take a picture of one of my Talib albums, tweet it to him, and he'll enter it. And he'll be like, good looking. Back to Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is the one that is moving the needle on this Kyrie shit, and every single day people want to know what he thinks. To show you his value on ESPN, they make him call. ESPN is making him call in because they don't. With all the NBA insiders they have, they're having Stephen A. Smith call in from vacation.
Even the OJ shit, they had him call in for the OJ shit also.
And he kept it funky with OJ. I was very proud that he did, because I didn't know if he would, and he did. He kept it 100% funky. He's very clearly O.J. Simpson is a sellout, straight up. I respect him saying that because I believe the same thing. I feel the same exact way Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharpe feel about O.J.
Right.
You're never going to hear friends from O.J. with me. The point of the matter is Stephen A. Smith is still that dude. And let me just say this. I used to live for the Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless recap of NBA games when he dealt with LeBron. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so, let's go here. Let's go here right quick. Let's go here before we wrap up. Let's go here right quick. Stephen A. and Skip, or Stephen A. and Max?
Stephen A. and Skip was better. Now, there's no disrespect to Stephen A. and Max because I really, really enjoy Stephen A. and Max. But it's a different show because Skip brings a different energy to it. You know you're going to get Tebow love. You know you're going to get LeBron James.
LeBron hate.
My Spurs.
Cowboys love.
You know, that's what you're going to get.
I hate Floyd.
Max,
Pacquiao is gonna be Floyd.
Max, with Max, you're gonna get boxing. Yeah, pure Floyd hate.
And
with
baseball
Max,
and
get...
baseball analogies that are weird. But go ahead.
So it's just a different dynamic because Max is my age. Max is for my generation. So even if Smith was a little bit older than me, they're almost like the same person. They agree a lot. You know what I'm saying? So it's just different. I still like it, but it's different. Then Skip. Put it to Skip and Stephen A. The dream team shit.
Facts.
You know what I'm
saying?
That was a dream team collab.
Stephen A., that is our appreciation, man. Man, salute to you. My brother, take us home, man.
PSA Podcast. Best and
more
battle
appreciations,
rap talk. An appreciation talk. By the way, let's just be clear. We got rap appreciation on deck. And yes, I understand we have not been doing Southern. And West Coast MCs. And I will just say this to any of the listeners out there, man, you know, y'all can help us when it comes to Southern MCs and West Coast MCs because that is not my strength because I'm a 100% New York guy. So
I fuck with South niggas, man. Jeezy, fuck with niggas, man.
So, but it's not fucking with them. I can't do an appreciation them because I can't really touch the background about them. I can't go into
Bundy.
You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to those Southern guys, I can't tell you much about them.
All right. That's what it is, man. PSA Podcast, me and Sean, y'all already know what it is, man.
What?